Hello, everyone. How is everybody tonight? We are at office hours on a Tuesday. If you'd like to be coached, just raise your hand and I will call on your name and bring you up on camera. If you have a question for me, stick it in the Q&A box. And if you want to talk amongst yourselves, you guys use the chat. Make sure you are talking to all panelists and attendees. Otherwise, only I get your comment. And I don't check the chat very often. So let's get started. Janet is here and has her hand raised. So Janet, you're up. And Janet is the only one with her hand raised. So if anybody wants to be coached, let's do it. Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. It's been a while since we spoke.
I know it. I know it. I saw you signed up for, are you coming in October to camp?
Yes, ma'am. I am so excited. This will be my first camp.
Camp is amazing. For sure.
Camp yeah, is... I'm looking forward to it.
I'm trying to think of how many I've been to now. I joined in 2013. So... however many years that is, and however many camps that is, and events and stuff, I love them. I love them.
Yes.
Beautiful experience. And today is the big sign-up day, right? Or the first day to sign up for 2020.
All next year. It's quite a full year, but exciting.
Yeah.
I know y'all are excited, too.
We are. We are. It's nice to, honestly, it's nice to be able to put them on our calendar, too, so that we know. You know, we can go ahead and plan for next year as well.
Well, I think it's nice for us too, as the tribe. We kind of see what's out there for the year and the registration's open. So there's many things to pick from, you know, just find what meets your needs financially and, you know, what things you're needing.
Right, right. That's so true. Because when they all post at one time, then you get to make the best choice for you, based on whatever your budget is, time-wise, money-wise, and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, it's good.
So, I guess my question for you tonight is more of is what I'm experiencing normal. You know, back when we talked a few months back, I was around 210 and struggling a little with that. Mm-hmm. Kind of busted through that plateau, and I'm now, I've really, July, I was really working hard for Corinne's birthday month for mm-hmm. Gift of Fat. And then this month is my birthday month. And my mm-hmm. birthday is actually Friday. So mm-hmm. I have kind of chosen to continue all the things that we did during the month of July for myself. And I'm actually down to 195.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. Great.
Yes. So I've been very excited and pleased. But I'm finding, I think, and Corinne had mentioned this, and maybe you too, that as we go down, losing our weight, I have definitely noticed my -2 and +2 are changing.
Yep.
And that's been a little, not difficult, but just challenging thing, because I'm trying to find those new -2 and +2.
Mm-hmm. So, why is it challenging?
I guess my question is to you, do I just... I guess I'm eating less food, and I'm thinking, okay, how much less food am I going to be eating? Because I know I still have about 35 pounds to go.
Mm-hmm.
I'm typically eating about 2 meals a day, maybe it's hungry in the afternoon. Try to do, you know, healthy food. What is this going to look like the next 35 pounds? So, I guess those thoughts are just going through my head. I mean, I feel great. I'm doing great. I've actually been walking at least 3 times a week.
Mm-hmm.
That has definitely given me more energy. But I guess in my head, I just have that question.
Okay.
I know that's going to change my 2 to 2. But mm-hmm. I'm thinking, you know, at what point, you know, I just think in my mind, am I going to be eating really – really little bit of stuff? Man, I know you're kind of sort of maintenance What does that like mean as you down, when you get down to this? I mean, still 35 pounds is a lot, but I just think it to my mom self, what does that look like?
Well, it looks different for everyone, right? But for me, it's three meals a day. I usually don't snack.
Okay.
For other people though, it's two meals a day. You know, it just depends. I'll tell you what I do. I have a light breakfast. Like usually it's a bowl of oatmeal. Okay. And it's because my body likes oatmeal. All right. Lunch is usually some kind of protein, vegetable, good carb. Dinner is the same. Like, I just eat to my two. So it might not be as much food as I used to eat, but it's still pretty normal stuff. Like today I had a Big Mac salad for lunch.
That's what I had for lunch today.
Oh, I love them. Yeah. My husband loves them too.
It was funny. I ate half of it because I was getting my plus two, and I was like, this is so good, but I knew I was at my plus two. And I had the girls at work, like, we want to try that. And one of the girls said, are you done? Are you going to throw that away? I'm like, well, I was planning on. She's like, no, I want to eat the rest of it. That's so good. So she ate my salad.
That's funny.
That's funny that we had that. I love that salad.
Yeah, they're good. My husband loves them. That's the only salad he'll let me fix. You know, he'll eat all week long.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say let me fix, but it's the only one he'll eat all week long. And you know, it's funny. Becky says, what's a Big Mac salad? Do you remember the jingle? Two all beef patty, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on sesame seed bun. Well, no bun, obviously.
Yeah.
I don't know what you do with your hamburger, but I just kind of, I crumble it up in a frying pan. And
I do. I just brown it.
Just brown it like that. I put a little Worcestershire, a little Montreal steak seasoning on it, you know, just to make
I'll have to try that.
Yeah. Just to make it yummy. I put it over salad mix. I put lettuce. I put tomatoes and cucumbers in mine too. But I chop up red onion and those hamburger dill pickles. Oh, that's what makes the salad to me is the pickles in it.
It's the dill pickles. I use green onions.
Green onions would be good too.
Mm-hmm. And they're very good. And then just a nice sharp cheddar cheese, grate it fresh.
Yep, sharp cheddar cheese, and then I buy Marzetti's Thousand Island dressing is what I put on it, just because it's a little bit lower in sugar.
Yeah,
and sometimes I'll sprinkle sesame seeds on it just for fun because you know it's part of the jingle.
To do that sounds good. Sometimes I put a little bit of avocado.
Yeah, yeah, but it's delicious. My husband loves it. I think he loves the onions and the pickles in it. I think that's what he loves.
That's what makes it. I think. But anyway, just so funny. She said, when my coworker just said, are you going to eat the rest of this? I'm like, no. She's like, I'm going to finish this. And she literally ate the rest of it.
That's so funny. So you were talking about leaving, you know, half of your salad. The other thing you do is as you lose weight, you start to wrap your mind around the fact that you don't have to prepare as much anymore either.
Right.
So if you find yourself throwing away, you know, half your food every meal, you can start seeing what your brain does if you prepare less, you know, because your brain will look at it and say, I don't know, Janet, is this going to be enough food?
Yeah.
And you have to have that conversation with yourself that, yeah, this is going to be fine. This is what I've been eating for the past, you know, however long. And well, if it's not, I can always make a little bit more.
Right. And I kind of started doing that with sandwiches. I was taking a sandwich to work and I found myself only eating half. So I just started doing a half a sandwich and just taking that. So I did do that. But for breakfast, I've not necessarily been skipping breakfast. I'm just not always hungry in the morning. Sometimes I am and I do an egg and a piece of toast or something and fruit. But honestly, most days I'm not hungry. I do my bulletproof coffee and it seems to work for my body. And then dinner, it just depends. Like you said, a good protein and vegetables and a good carb. But I guess it's just in my mind, just retraining my brain. I'm at a different point now. I haven't been at 195 in probably 2 or 3 years and just learning, things are starting to change. I'm transitioning to another phase right now.
Yeah, every 10 or 15 pounds, you should probably spend 2 or 3 days just really looking at your hunger scale hard to make sure that, you know, it's still where you thought it was going to be. That's, that's what I found with mine is that you know, you get kind of complacent with it. Oh, well, I always eat this much. So you just eat that much rather than every little while just saying, you know, maybe I'll do my own on the clock challenge, or maybe I'll do my own hunger scale challenge and just really make sure I am still doing what my body needs me to do. So you can do that as well.
Yeah. I was surprised one evening I got home and it was been a long day and just, it's so hot, you know, down here in Georgia that didn't feel like cooking. And I really wasn't hungry. And by the time I thought I might be hungry, it was time to go to bed. So I just drank some water and went to bed. And I was like, this is the first time I've actually not eaten dinner. And I was like, I was okay. I was like, I didn't die. I didn't get pregnant.
So right.
I just think I was tired and just needed to drink some water. But it's amazing what I think I've learned to just be curious and try these things and see where I go.
Yeah.
That's probably been the most eye-opening for me to see that I can go longer. Like sometimes on the weekends I get up and do bulletproof coffee and sometimes I don't eat till 1 or 2 and I'm good. I'm up doing chores, grocery shopping. Mm-hmm. And so I just let myself, you know, be curious and see what my body tells me to do.
Yeah. That's great. That sounds like you have a great outlook on it. I was thinking you were going to come in here saying, I don't know if I can eat less food. I might die.
No.
My blood sugar will tank, or my this will happen, or my that. But you're in here like, hey, you know, I'm finding I don't need as much food. Is that right?
Yeah, like, is this normal?
Yeah, no, yeah. It's
very normal. And I guess just my thoughts, I just need to be okay with that. It may be leveling out here soon, but it may just not be as much food. Yeah. And I've been eating what I want, so that's great. I mean, and it's so funny, people are now showing. Mm-hmm. Like people are like, you've lost a lot of weight, and I'm like, I'm working on it, you know. And I'm like, I keep trying, and I'm, you know, it feels good. Does feel good when other people see it, and I see it too.
So how much have you lost?
45 as of today.
That's awesome. Very good.
I enjoy the process. I guess, like Corinne says, you enjoy the process, and you know, mm-hmm. it's not a chore. It's not something that I dread. You know, I make my 24-hour plan every night and plan for the next day. And I'll be honest, yesterday I had planned my regular meal, like a sandwich and stuff like that. Well, one of my coworkers surprised me with birthday cake.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't on my plan.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't panic. So I had a peach on my plan and I had some kombucha tea. I've been drinking some of that. So I did think about it and made the choice. I ate a very small piece of cake. I did not eat a peach or drink my kombucha tea.
Mm-hmm.
And actually this morning lost some weight. So I was like, okay, it's really a lot about making the choices and, you know, what choices I decided to make. So I did make the
and being okay with your decision. Right?
Yes. And didn't feel bad about it. Mm-hmm. And I just rolled with it. Not to say that that's what I do every day.
Right.
I wouldn't normally do that every day.
Tell me what it would have looked like if you had been up a pound.
I was okay. I would have been okay with it. I'd already gotten my mind. I honestly weighed this morning just to see if my choice, whether I had gone up or not, I was okay with my decision. Mm-hmm. And I was prepared that if it went up, I was okay because I made the choice.
Mm-hmm.
In the moment, I made that choice to eat. And granted, it wasn't this huge slice, and it was a small slice that, you know, I thought was enough to. And I could have taken a piece home with me and said, you know, y'all, this is really not on my plan because they know what I'm doing. But I did make the choice in the moment.
Well,
I was okay with it.
Yeah. And the key here is exactly what you just said. I made the choice. I was okay with it. Whatever the scale would have been, I would have been okay with. That's owning your decision. It's not, oh my God, I didn't know what to do. Somebody brought me a cake and I had to have some because I didn't want them to feel bad. And now, you know, the scale is, there's no drama. There's no blame. There's no nothing. And that's you. That's exactly what we want you to do. If you're going to make that decision to eat off plan, you just own it. And you roll with whatever the results are, and then you decide how you want to think about it. And that's exactly what you did.
And if anything I can say to everybody, this program has been so helpful in the mental thought of just how we think around food. another example where I feel like is a non-scale victory is Crab Fest, you know, at Red Lobster. And I've been seeing all the commercials and like, okay, Richard, let's go eat some crab. And I had a gift card. And I was like, okay, I'm going to eat crab legs. I said, and I'm not going to eat any of the cheddar biscuits. Not going to happen.
Oh my gosh, the cheddar biscuits.
Yeah, so I already had said, no cheddar biscuits. Going to eat crab, a salad or broccoli. Got there, the lady brought the basket of them out. And I was like, okay. And already in my brain, it's just pitch a little bit off. Just a little pitch. And I'm like, oh, that was not the plan. I told you, your fat girl thinking comes in, like, it's okay, just a pinch. No, and then I almost asked her to take the basket away. I'm like, no, I've got to learn to sit here with this in front of me and be okay with it. Mm-hmm. Once she brought the salad and the rest of stuff, I really didn't even want the biscuits. Mm-hmm. It was just my brain sending me those messages that, oh, yeah, you do, just take a pinch.
But you might not get these biscuits again, Janet. Ever in the world.
That was not appealing to me, even though I thought it was for in a hot second. I thought it was, I was good. Yeah. So I was proud of myself and my husband too. He was really wanting them too. I was like, yeah, don't do it. And I almost said, take them away, but I didn't. We both sat there with them on the table and ate.
Good for you. That's amazing.
Amazing. So I feel like the mental part, I've come such a long way and learned just how to deal with things and not get panicky or get anxious or have the drama around food like I used to.
So it's all good.
Yes. It's
all good. So, I love it.
I had to change my goal. My goal for my birthday was to be at 199. So I hit. I keep having to miss a good thing. I've had to change my goal a few times the past couple of weeks. So
that's awesome.
My goal for Friday was 195. Well, I hit that today. So I guess I'll shoot for a little less and whatever.
Maybe it can be like 193 and a half.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, happy
that's
birthday.
That's a terrible problem to have, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm losing weight. I don't know what to do.
Hey, I know. Anyway. But thank you so much, Kathy, for your help. It's just been very, very good. I've enjoyed it.
I like talking to you.
So thank you.
You're very welcome. It's my pleasure. I like talking to you too. You're fun to talk to. And I can't wait to meet you.
I want a big hug from you.
Absolutely.
A hug and a picture.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, have a wonderful evening.
You too. See you later.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye. Yeah, I just love calls like that. It's amazing to me to see people who are loving the process. I don't know. That's why I come to work every day, y'all. Seriously. Teresa, you're next. And y'all, Teresa is the only one with her hand raised. So if anybody else wants in. Teresa, are you there?
Search. Okay.
I can hear you a little, but I can't see you. And you have some feedback going on, too.
Oh,
there you are.
Okay.
All right. Is your internet nice and strong? Because you seem to be breaking up quite a bit.
Let me look. Has all my bars up? I could try. I'm on the computer. I could try calling. It's just that my camera on my phone, the selfie direction doesn't work. So okay. I could flip it so you could see me. I just couldn't see you.
Well,
I can try again.
Let's try this. Let's see if it holds together long enough for us to talk. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So what's on your mind?
I'm trying really careful to choose my words wisely because my first thought is to say I'm struggling.
Okay. What are you struggling with? You must have heard I don't like that word, right?
Of course.
Mm-hmm. What's
I have I started PNP in March of 18. I have lost or had lost a total of 53 pounds. But I have since January gained back 50 of those 53 pounds.
Okay.
And I started, I got off track in January, but since July 1st, I have been doing plans, assessments. I get my water in. Most of the time I get my sleep. So basically I'm doing all the basics,
uh-huh.
but one that I can't, I don't know. It's stopping at my two.
Okay. So tell me what's different now than when you joined and lost the weight.
It could be a couple things. One, I got married in January, so there was a goal. The other thing is this seems to be, I don't want to say habit, but it seems to be typical for me. I have gotten to my goal weight twice before with the same concept of listening to my body, eating only when I'm hungry, stopping when I'm satisfied. I've been to my goal weight. That's how I've done it. Not Weight Watchers, nothing else. Mm-hmm. So this whole concept of listening to your body thing isn't new to me. But what happens, and I can hear Corinne say there's no different urges. All urges are the same. But certain, there are urges that will come up that feel way more intense. And once those urges all of a sudden come, I would have occasional urges before then. But for some reason, I get these surge of urges that just feel relentless. And I feel like I can't stop.
Okay. Can you give me an example? Of when one of these relentless urges came in?
Even at dinner. Like stopping at my two, but I don't want to stop. Like, I don't want to stop eating.
Why not? What's the thought? You don't want to stop, right? But why? What's your brain telling you in that moment?
It tastes good. I've done recovery worksheets on it, but I want the urge to go away. So if I eat, then that urge will go away.
Okay.
Because I don't like the urge.
And don't like the urge.
And I don't like that. Yeah. And I don't like the discomfort of the urge. Yes.
Okay. This is so interesting. Anything else? I'm writing these down.
Okay. Those are some things. Some overeats and recovery worksheets I did last night. Because of the weight gain, I feel physically icky in my body. Mm-hmm. It's painful for me to go up and downstairs now.
Yeah.
And so to feel better, I'll eat. But yet that does... Logically, I know that doesn't help. It just makes the problem worse, but I want to feel better about feeling defeated, about feeling discouraged, feeling like a failure.
Okay. Let's talk about this thought. I don't like the discomfort of the urge. Okay.
Okay.
So when you're sitting at the table, I want you to take me back now. You're sitting at the table. You have the food in front of you. You know you're at your plus two, but you have this urge and this discomfort about leaving the rest of your food. Tell me what that feels like in your body.
Those are physically icky in my body. It's painful for me to
and this makes the problem worse, but I want to feel better about feeling it, then I feel anxious, even fidgety type.
Okay, so the discomfort feels anxious and fidgety, right?
Yeah.
What else? Anything else?
Panicky is a good word.
Okay. These are real common for urges. These are real common feelings in your body for urges. So what you're doing is trading this momentary anxious, fidgety, panicky feeling for the long-term icky, hurt, painful. You're trading one discomfort for another, right? So you're trading, and I'll say it again because you're breaking up, but you're trading, what you're trading is this discomfort of sitting at the table with food, which will take, what, 10 minutes to get past, for the discomfort of carrying around the extra weight that makes you feel icky in your body and makes you hurt and makes you, your knees hurt and it's hard to walk around and all those things that you were describing, right? So yep. This is a situation where you're picking the discomfort, the long-term discomfort, over the short-term, I don't want to feel this panicky, anxious feeling while this food sits here. That's what you need to, that's what you really need to weigh in the moment. Okay. You need to just take a minute, take, this is why I tell people when you're trying to find your plus two, you eat half your food and you just wait 10 minutes and you listen to your brain and you listen to everything that it's telling you. You don't need to throw that away. We don't want to be uncomfortable. We don't, you know, this just tastes good. I don't like the way this urge feels. It's telling you all those things in that moment when you're trying to decide whether or not you need to eat anymore. Because you know, it's for someone who's lost their weight, eating only what they need, you know where, you know what that limit is, right? You know where that boundary is. Yes. So you hit that magic boundary, that magic line, whatever it is you want to call it, and then this conversation starts up about, I don't like this urge. This tastes good. I don't want to feel uncomfortable. I don't want to sit here with this food here. That conversation starts and you completely forget that you're trading it for this long-term carrying around the extra weight discomfort.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So do you have any kind of conversation like that with yourself at the table, or do you just answer the urge? What could you do?
I do, but it's very short.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. It's a very short conversation and I just give in. It's the thought of, yeah, but you won't see results for how many months by not giving in to this urge. So then I give in. And that's it. I know logically it doesn't get me the results that I want. I know that in my head. But in the moment, I choose to do that.
Have you taken the buffering and the urges workshop? What did you learn? What did you learn about it?
I was thinking about that this week, that I need to re-listen to some of those calls, like the pizza gal. I can't remember.
Pizza girl. I'd forgotten her.
The counting down from 90 was something I learned. I have post-it notes on my cupboards of all these different thoughts that I could choose. If you don't give into this urge, what would you be doing?
Yeah.
Did you count down from 90? Mm-hmm.
So let's, all right. So you have all this, you have all these around you and those aren't working either. Let's just talk about the urge for a minute. Okay.
Okay.
So you described it to me as anxious, fidgety, panicky, you know, that's, you know, you're probably agitated in your body, your brain is screaming at you and all that kind of stuff, right? Have you ever just sat there and let it pass? Have you ever thought about just saying you have?
I have.
Okay. How long did it take?
I've sat with it. The longest that I can remember sitting with it is a half hour.
Okay. And did it pass after the half hour?
I think I went to bed because it was the only way to shut it off.
Okay. So you didn't feed it. And it, when you got up in the morning, it was gone. And you were able to go to sleep with it. Okay.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So that's what feelings do. They come on pretty strong and pretty hard. And a feeling is just your biological response to a suggestion in your mind. And eventually it eases. Usually doesn't take 30 minutes. But if you think about, I like to think about crying. You know, you get really upset about something and you start crying, right? Yet you stop crying eventually.
Yeah.
It's like it comes on pretty hard. You sob pretty hard and then you stop crying. That's the feeling passing through your body. That's what an urge does too. That's why we engage that 90 second countdown or 90 whatever, because it allows you to engage the other part of your brain, this reasoning brain, because you're counting backwards now, and take the work off the primal brain, which is the one going, hey, we should eat, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that allows the urge to kind of fade away as well. Doing that, I coach a girl who told me one time she counted back from 93 different times before the urge went away. The other thing about urges is if you allow them to be there without fighting them, if you just sit there and feel that urge, it's going to pass a whole lot faster than it will if you fight with it and get angry that it's there and be upset that it's there and hate that it's there. And I don't like the discomfort of the urge. That's resisting the urge. It's like, oh my God, here it is again. It's like, makes it hard to have the urge rather than feeling the urge. It's kind of like, let's say you break your foot. You're going to have pain, right? You can either really be angry that the pain is there, or you can say, yeah, my foot hurts. And it's not as hard to bear. If you're angry about the pain, it's harder to bear than if you just like, my foot's broken, it's going to hurt. You know, if you just accept that the pain is there. It's the same thing with an urge. If you just accept the urge as it being there rather than pushing on it and hating on it and being uncomfortable about it and all that kind of stuff, then it's going to seem like it's more of a struggle and it's going to seem harder. Does that make sense?
Yep. And I remember that from the class too.
Yeah. It's resisting versus allowing. And it that concept applies to so many things, but urges, it applies to really, really well. So that's what I would suggest to you. I would, in the moment when you have that urge, I'd remind myself that you're trading one discomfort for another. Use that thought. I'm trading one discomfort for another here if I continue to eat. And then I would also just say, I knew the urge was coming. It's here. I'm not going to fight it today. I'm just going to let it be. I'm going to let it be here. I'm going to give it 3 90-second countbacks. And I'm going to understand that this is how my body works and this is how my brain works. Okay. Just be accepting that, you know, this is your brain, this primal brain back here is like just trying to take care of you. Right. It's just throwing up suggestions on how to make you happy. How are we going to make Teresa happy today? Right. It's not thinking that food can't make you happy. That's what the reasoning brain is for.
Yeah. One of the things that I, on my plan, I have a place that says for my intentional thought for the day.
Oh, yes.
And, and I have been, one of the things I've been writing after hearing, it was the live Corinne did, about, well, so I got to find it because I changed it up. Oh, my intentional thought was allowing urges is easy.
Yeah.
As opposed to how I currently feel, which it's hard.
Right.
So I keep telling myself that it's easy, but go ahead.
How about this? How about your self-care for tomorrow is being okay with having an urge? That's interesting, isn't it? Can you consider allowing an urge as self-care? Being okay with what your brain tells you without fighting it, without, you know, answering it, just saying, this is, my brain is working exactly like it's supposed to, exactly like I've trained it right now. And I'm going to take That's care of myself by allowing it to just do its job and not feed it.
That's interesting you said that, because yesterday's intentional thought, I wrote, stopping at my plus two is self-care.
Yeah.
But I think the allowing the urge is a good spin on that.
Yeah.
Because it's the urge piece that does it. It's not the plus two. It's the urge to eat more.
Yeah.
That's the that I'm getting hung up on.
And let's just take it one step further, just for fun, right? Urges are normal. I sit up here at this desk all day long and have suggestions to go downstairs and eat or walk around or buffer my work or sit outside. There's urges all day long. I have suggestions all day long. Maybe you should get on the phone right now. Maybe you should scroll Facebook right now. Wouldn't it be fun to go walk around the block? No. You know, those, they're all urges. You are, your brain is giving you thoughts and suggestions all day long. This is just another one. This one that we're talking about right here is just at dinner time when you've hit plus two. Right?
Yeah.
It really, I mean, when you think about it in those terms, it really normalizes how your brain works. And it makes you think, you know, this is, urges are not insurmountable. I'm answering them or ignoring them all day long. You have an urge to go to the bathroom, right?
Right.
So think on that a little bit.
I will. Thank you.
Thank
you.
The beautiful thing about where you are right now is that you know how to lose the weight. You're just ready to decide to. You just need to get ready to decide to again. Right?
Yes.
And then when you lose the 50 pounds again, you get back on this call and we'll talk some more about maintenance. We'll talk about how you stay there. Okay?
Okay.
All right.
We'll do that. Thank you, Kathy.
You're very welcome. You take care, okay?
Okay, we'll do. Thanks.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Billy, you're next. I am trying to see what's going on with Teresa here. She hasn't. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I sort of raised my hand, but I was thinking about it.
Wow, I've never had it.
And I just took my husband a washcloth in the shower. I said, watch, if I raise my hand and they call on me, you might get seen in the shower. And I was totally kidding.
Wow.
I said, I better run out of the room really fast.
That's amazing.
Oh my gosh.
It's
not what we want to see.
it's a good thing. I was still trying to get Teresa back down to an attendee.
Oh, for some reason, goodness.
Acting funny there.
Well, how are you today, Miss Kathy?
I'm good, Billy. How are you?
Good. I just got back from a walk with my daughter. So
Nice.
She's getting her settled. Mm-hmm. And you were talking to Janet earlier, and I'm kind of in the same situation as her.
Okay.
Kind of a lot of thoughts. I've been really good with the program, really well. I have lost almost 40 pounds this year and like 27 and a half since I joined in April.
Mm-hmm.
I'm under 150 and I'm trying to get into the 130s right now.
Okay.
So, well, the 150 was like my 200 because I'm 4'9". So I always say 150 was like my 200 for a taller person.
For 4'9". Do you say you're 4'9"?
Yeah, 4'9" on a good day.
Wow. Okay.
So the amount of energy my body needs to run is not very much.
Mm-hmm.
I am very active. I probably average about 13,000 steps a day, and I know that doesn't matter. It's what you eat. And I average about 2 meals a day.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to be so in touch with that plus two that if I even go over a little bit, I just kind of go into maintenance mode. And some of the thoughts are just like, how much more am I willing to give up? You know, mm-hmm. I want it to be fun. I'm having a great time, but and it's not the food so much. Sometimes it's just like, I feel like maybe it is the food. I just feel like I've eaten such a small amount, or I have barely eaten anything today. And that's a thought,
mm-hmm.
but the amount of energy my body needs is slim.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to reconcile with that.
Okay. So why do you want to overeat?
That is where my thought is. I don't want to be in maintenance. I'm with Janet. I have about 30 more pounds to lose, 25 to 30
mm-hmm.
that I want to lose.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not at the weight I want to be at yet. I have my goals visualized. I'm really focused on my goals. I look at them every day. I journal. I'm 145 plans, I think, in. I haven't missed a plan or an assessment.
Oh, wow. Good.
I'm working the tools.
Yeah.
And I build on my tools.
Mm-hmm.
So
in the moment,
that's
when
what
you're
trying
dinner,
to find out.
And
yeah.
dinner tastes really good.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
That's when you're like, I don't really want to lose weight. I want to eat this dinner.
Yes. And because I always think I serve myself such a small portion on a small plate.
Mm-hmm.
And as I was walking with my daughter, I knew dinner was done.
Mm-hmm.
I made a very great dinner, but I'm not hungry. So as I was doing that walk, I'm like, you know what? I made that lovely London boil with the mushroom and the gravy, but it's going to go with me for lunch tomorrow because I'm truly not hungry.
Mm-hmm.
So
what's the problem with that?
That, you know what, today I really was okay with it. I think maybe listening to Janet's call maybe helped with that kind of thought, like, hey, I'm okay with that. I'm still very curious every day with where, you know, I'm going and what my body's capable of. I'm curious to what my body is capable of. And I don't ever remember being thin. So that is something that I would love to have. That is one of my compelling reasons, is to just be thinner and sexier and feel better.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think that I am okay with it most of the time. But I think when I get upset is if I overeat by just such a small amount, it's comparison to what was a large amount before. I guess maybe that's the mental thing, is I feel like I ate such a small amount over my two, but it's still past my two.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I realize that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just accepting that, hey, your two is just a lot sooner than it used to be. And you mentioned like every 10 to 15 pounds, you kind of have to reassess. And
yeah,
I have noticed that when I was trying to get to 150, I had to really, really dial in.
Mm-hmm.
And now as I get closer to the 130s, I'm realizing I have to really dial in. I think I just want the experience to still be enjoyable and still love it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a thought I'm trying to get to acceptance of. Still just loving the process and feeling like I can be social and be with my friends and have a glass of wine and not be, you know,
yeah,
maintaining.
This is what happens, right? We think we should just be able to eat as much as we want and lose weight. But I can't be at my plus two yet. See, I have this this voice in my head. It's like a thought, but I call it the voice in my head that will ask me while I'm having dinner or a meal, don't you think that's plus two now? Do you have this voice? Do you have this suggestion? I might be at my
My plus two.
Nah, this might be my plus two. And the immediate reaction I have is, no, I'm not.
Or maybe just one more bite. Just to make sure.
How can this be plus two? Look at all this food left, right?
Yes. And there is a lot usually left. So
yes.
Yeah, that's the voice.
It's the voice. And it's, it cracks me up when it comes in, because then the conversation starts. But I really like what I'm having tonight. Oh, no, there's still food left. It's, look, I have all the conversation too. But then I think, my stomach is about as big as my fist. Mm-hmm. And I put my fist next to my plate and I think, I have served myself too much food. I don't need all this food. Right? And how bad do I want my pants to fit tomorrow?
Yes.
You know, that's...
And I just went down a pant size, another one. So I bought some pants on eBay and they're loose. I'm like, oh my gosh, because I'm trying not to spend a lot of money.
Right.
So I bought a pair on eBay in the next size down. And I'm like, oh, these are already loose. I'm going to have to see if I can find the next size down on eBay.
So
those things feel incredible.
Right, right. It's wrapping your brain around the fact that your body really does. I think that's what is so mind-blowing to all of us as we lose weight or as we maintain weight, is wrapping our minds around how much food we actually need to put in our bodies.
Yes.
How much food our bodies actually need to run. And when you think about every bite past plus two is actually stored somewhere on your body in case, you know, for whatever reason, because that's how our bodies take care of us, then, you know, that thought doesn't feel really good. I don't want extra food stored on my body anymore. I did that for 47 years.
No, I know. And that's where I don't see myself going back. Mm-hmm. I feel like I've made so much progress. I can't see my past self anymore. I really see myself present and future.
Oh, that's
amazing. It's just getting to that next level of her, my next her, the next Billy. 3.0 maybe. Maybe I'm at 2.0 now, I think. But I think
like
it's getting to 3.0.
It sounds
because
like
I just feel like the work has been amazing. And thanks. That just really helped me just to, you know, give that. I'm going to use my fist as an idea just to give. And since mine is smaller than everybody else's, then I have to really remember it needs less.
You have a petite stomach.
Yes, it's petite. I always say I have a compact car.
A compact
car. Our accountability group calls us cockroaches because there's two of us that are about 5 foot or under.
Oh, wow. Are you okay with that? With the fact that you need less food than, say, a 6 foot tall woman does?
You know what? I think it's a fact. It's always been a fact kind of my life. I never thought of myself as someone who overate. That was the first thought I had to deal with when I joined PMP, because I never thought of myself as an overeater, because I ate the same as everybody else that I was out with. I didn't eat extra portions. I ate what my friends were eating. I didn't eat more, or, you know, sometimes I ate less than them, but I still would gain.
Yeah.
Because they are not the same size as me. We're not, I mean, they maybe are Hummers or Lexus, you know, SUVs, and I'm, you know, a smart car.
Right. With a little bitty gas tank.
So that was the...
Uh-oh, you just muted yourself.
How did I mute myself?
Uh-oh. I don't know. Okay. So that was, I heard, so that, your connection is unstable.
Oh, is it getting better?
Oh, maybe it's mine. I'm sorry. I don't know. Anyway, you said what were you saying?
That was the first thought work I really had to work on, was it, realizing that I did overeat, because it was the lie I was telling myself for the 49 years I've been on this earth, that I didn't eat more than I needed.
Yeah.
So, so I'm good. I think that this really did help me, Kathy.
Good.
Sometimes just talking it out, just... Mm-hmm. I'll let you know how it goes in a couple of weeks on the scale, since I've maintained this entire month. I'm a boss at maintaining, like someone else posted in the Queen's Club. I can relate to that post.
You're just practicing for later, for Billy 3.0.
Yes, I'm practicing for Billy 3.0. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
And look forward to seeing you next year at Don't Stop Believing. So that gives me something to train for and work for.
That's awesome. That is such a fun event.
I'm really excited.
I'll never forget when we first dreamed it up. We were sitting on Corinne's couch in her old house. Her husband was running the meeting. It was our team meeting, and it only had me and Corinne and Betsy and Mary Jo there and Chris. And we said, we should do a race. And Chris was like, what? No, he says, I want no part of that. That's a terrible idea. So Corinne and I put that first one together. There were 65 or 70 girls that came. We cried all weekend. We were so proud of the fact that we had pulled this race together, that we had all these girls who had come to Nashville to do the race. I actually met, we put people on the course to bring people in, right? So I was the person who went out to the halfway point of the half marathon and walked in with the girls who were coming in at the end, right? And it was probably one of the most fulfilling things I have ever done, was spend that, I don't know, even know how long it was, couple of hours with those two girls, walking them in at that race. And I could just cry right now thinking about it. It was
marathon.
It was just such an amazing event. And, you know, every year, we've done it twice now. Every time we do it, there's people who are doing their first races, their first half marathons, their first anythings. And it's just an amazing event. It's just so cool.
And I'm so super excited. I can't wait. So.
I'm really glad you're coming.
I'm glad it's a little bit earlier when it might not be so hot. As a California girl, I'm not used to the humidity part.
Yeah. And make sure you train on some hills too, because it's a little bit that we have rolling hills in Nashville.
Hills. Okay. I will make sure I do that.
We're not super flat here.
Okay. That's good to know.
Yes.
Oh, thank you so much. Thanks for all your help. I appreciate
it.
Thanks for your time.
All right. We'll see you.
Bye.
All right. Let's see. There's no hands raised. So I'm going to do this Q&A right now while I wait for you guys to raise your hand. So surely somebody wants to talk to me. Okay. So Anonymous says, in September, are we doing a module a week for No BS? Yes, we actually are. We are starting on September 8th. So the newbies come in. Let me check my calendar here. The newbies come in next week, September 4th, 5th, and 6th. So the week of September 1st, current tribe members, all you tribe members, you just wrap up whatever you are working on. If you are in the middle of a course, if you are doing some things with your accountability groups, you wrap up in the next, what's that, about a week and a half, whatever you're working on, because we want everybody to go through No BS. It's something y'all need to do. I need to do, everybody needs to do a couple, three times a year. So September 8th, we start with Fresh Start and we'll work on that for a week. And if you listen to Corinne's Tribe News show, you know, we've got new daily posts coming out. We've got suggestions for accountability groups on how to apply each No BS week's lessons. We've really done a lot of work to make this this run through No BS super interesting. So September 8th, 15th, 22nd, 29th, and October 6th. Those 5 weeks are the 5 modules of No BS. Then the last 3 weeks in October, we'll do some hunger scale challenges, we'll do realistic planning, and we'll do on the clock. So we spend the first 5 weeks learning and applying, and the next 3 weeks doing more heavy application stuff. So it's going to be super, super cool. We've been working on making it really fun and applicable, and something that the entire tribe can do together. And, the whole team is doing it. Corinne is going through No BS. I'm going through No BS. So is Betsy, Mary Jo, Paula, all of us. So we'll all be in doing it together. And I am super looking forward to it. I haven't been through the No BS probably since January. I think I went through, I did, I did a run through of all the lessons in January to make sure everything still applied and we still taught things the same way. And then Corinne fine tuned a few of them throughout the course of the year. And so it's all ready. It's ready to go. It's good stuff. It's the, what would you call it? It's the foundation of PMP, right? But it's kind of like the, it's kind of like the Cadillac. It's kind of like what everything else is built on. All right. So Erica, Billy says she's excited to go through. I saw some, what did Laura say? Rolling, as if you might need to roll down one. She's talking about the rolling hills. Laura was at DSB, Don't Stop Believing, last year. Yeah, it's a beautiful, y'all, it's a beautiful greenway. You know, if you go all the way through the half marathon, you'll see all these fields and you see the golf course. I guess you didn't see the golf course. Golf course is further on by past, but it runs along the river. It really is beautiful. And I will tell you this too. Since we've backed it up a couple of weeks, I bet you smell the honeysuckle. Do you remember me talking about how I would go out and just measure the course a couple of weeks beforehand and figure out where we were going to place signs and stuff, and the honeysuckle was blooming? I bet since we're backed up a couple of weeks, you'll smell the honeysuckle. It's gorgeous. All right, Erica, then Melissa. Let's get you guys going. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I am doing all right. How are you?
I'm good. What's up?
Well, I am a June baby, so this mm-hmm. is my first call.
Yay.
I am trying to, you know, I want to be successful with the program.
Uh-huh.
And just trying to figure out what I need to do that.
Okay.
I've had some like small wins with things, but I'm trying not to be frustrated with like just enjoying the process and like taking it and, you know, taking my time so it is a long-term mm-hmm. and full-term fix.
Okay.
And so like with my weight, I am a fad dumper. I knew this already. And it tends to vary wildly. Like I retain water and all that. And I knew all this, but then it makes it more difficult to see what kind of adjustments are affecting things.
Why does it make it more difficult?
I guess there's not the immediate feedback from the scale with
what
whatever.
Would you call immediate? For you, immediate might be 3 weeks.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Why is that a problem?
I would just like something quicker, obviously. I mean,
okay.
I guess.
Poof.
It'll
be quicker now.
Yeah.
Sorry, a little sarcasm. But if you're a fat dumper,
mm-hmm.
your feedback is going to come every, 3 weeks probably?
Yeah, 3 or 4 weeks about that.
Okay. So
which is great that week, but then the other.
What good does it do you to wish it was different?
It doesn't help.
No, it just frustrates you.
Mm-hmm.
You think about the model, okay? Have you been? You've been through no BS. You know what the model is.
Yes.
Your C is, I lose weight. You know, I'm a fat dumper. I lose weight mm-hmm. every 3 to 4 weeks. Your thought is, I want quicker feedback. Your feeling is frustrated. When you're frustrated, what do?
Then I tend to spiral out and not follow the plan or not be
question
as
myself,
about
question
things.
The program, don't yeah. do the work. Guess what happens in the result line?
Then you'll get the results I want.
Right. Right. So it all goes back to that thought that I wish it was different. Right?
Yes.
I bet the girls who are maintaining now, the girls on this call who are really good at maintenance, wish they were fat dumpers. Right? They're probably wishing they were different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Billy's wishing she was taller so she could eat more, maybe. Right? So my point is, it doesn't help you at all to be unhappy with the way your body responds to weight loss. You have the feedback that you give yourself every day when you do your assessments is what you need to be looking at. Feedback okay. from the scale is not the feedback that you need to look at every day. So when you do your plan every day and then mm-hmm. you do your assessment every day, if you're doing your assessment thoroughly, you're writing down your hunger scale at each meal. Okay. And that's the biggest feedback you can give yourself.
Okay.
All right. Have you seen the pages with the new planner?
I scanned it. I mean, I glanced at it, but I haven't printed it out yet. Okay. I still have the old planner for another month.
I love this page. I don't know if everybody can see it. This is a 24-hour plan and assessment page.
Mm-hmm.
All across the breakfast line, you've got planned food, actual food, and hunger scale.
So it's all right next to each other.
Oh my gosh, it's all right there. So you can, I mean, what I do, you can see, I did mine. Where is mine? I just opened this to a random page. I don't want to sit here. Oh, here we go. This is how I started mine. Right? So I've got my food in there for the day. I've checked off breakfast. I haven't gone back and assessed lunch and dinner yet, but I will. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I mean, I love that it's all on one page. So you don't have to flip back and forth and see what you did and all that kind of stuff. That's the feedback that you need to be relying on.
Okay.
The scale is a secondary feedback. I mean, what you need to be watching is your hunger scale and your thoughts when you overeat. Okay. When you eat to your plus three, or you decide to have, I don't know, chicken tenders instead of baked chicken or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Does that help?
It does.
It's not really what you want to hear though, is it?
No, it's fine. I hadn't thought about my frustration being an issue. I would like to think that I'm able to redirect, like I try to redirect and bring it back, but underneath that I'm still resentful and frustrated that things are going on, and that's not helping. So,
you know, Corinne talks about how she went through periods of her weight loss, fat dumping, but it wasn't her entire weight loss. So, you know, you might go through your whole weight loss that way, but what if all of a sudden you start to see ups and downs in your weight loss rather than maintain down. What if you see a little bit up, a little bit more down, a little bit up, a little bit more down? What if it starts to look like that? You're going to be frustrated with that too.
Probably.
Yeah. So what you're wanting is this perfect slope down,
yes,
right, that nobody has.
Yeah.
So when you see that thought come in, you say, you know what, that's just not really realistic. Mm-hmm. I'd also like to lose 50 pounds next week.
That would be fantastic.
That would be fantastic. I wouldn't want to talk about being a fat dumper. Let's do that, right? But that's not realistic either.
Mm-hmm.
Accepting how your body processes its weight loss is going to be really, really key for you. Because when you can let go of that frustration and you move into accepting how this is really going to work in your body and for your body, then the weight loss becomes easier because you're not questioning everything. You're not getting angry. You're not, you know, talking bad about yourself. You know, you don't have all that negative energy going on.
You chatter about how this week it doesn't really matter because nothing's going
to
happen.
Right. It all leads back to that. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, I bet that's a good one. Well, that's, I'm not going to fat dump this week, so let's have ice cream, right?
Yeah.
What if you're actually preventing weight loss because of the thought you have that you're a fat dumper?
Yeah, I'm sure there are overeats in there because it's like, well, I'm not going to see anything this week anyway. Or,
right. That's why your daily assessment is going to be the most important thing for you, to be really honest with you on that daily, honest with yourself on that daily assessment. Super duper honest. And then the journal page of the planner has a thought I'm working on believing about me is.
Oh, okay.
Yours might be, it's okay to be a fat dumper.
Mm-hmm.
Yours might be, I trust my body to take care of me the best way it knows how. You know, those thoughts that you want to begin believing about how your body processes weight loss. Makes sense?
Yes.
Put your brain to work on what you want to think and how good you want your model to be, right? Rather than, I wish it were different.
Mm-hmm.
What if your thought was, I'm working on accepting my body the way it is, the way it processes weight loss.
Mm-hmm.
Then your feeling becomes more open, right?
Yeah.
And when you're more open, then your brain just, you know, empties out and opens up and says, you know, I wonder what that could mean for me. I wonder what I can do to see how my body reacts. Mm-hmm. Rather than, I'm frustrated, so I'm going to have some ice cream, or mm-hmm. question myself, or question the program, or question everything. Does that help?
It does.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. I haven't been focusing on the hunger scale part of the assessment. I've been doing other things, but I haven't looked at that much. Mm-hmm. So I will focus on that over the next.
You know, the difference between eating to your 2 and eating to your 3 mm-hmm. or 3.5 could be maintenance too.
Okay.
Yeah. So if you really, really tune into that 2, maybe you'll find that you're not a fat dumper.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Be interesting to see, wouldn't it?
It will, yeah.
As long as you do it from a space of curiosity, not, well, let's try this and see if this works because we're frustrated because we're a fat dumper.
It's almost like you're in my head, Kathy.
I have been there. Let me just say, it's not been that long ago.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you know, the reason that Corinne and I can talk, and Betsy, we can all talk to you all about this stuff, is because we have the chatter too.
Mm-hmm.
We just recognize it, and we've worked on it, and we've thought downloaded about it, and mm-hmm. we've tried on new thoughts over and over and over. And because the more you begin to see those things and recognize them for just the, what is it Corinne calls it? I can't even think. But it's the chatter in your brain that does nothing. Neurological junk. That's what mm-hmm. she calls it. You just realize that it's just crap your brain is saying. It's not that it's not the truth. It's not, you know, it's not like, I don't know. When I realized that my brain sometimes told me things that weren't true and that was okay, I was like, wow, that's like opening all kinds of doors for me.
Yeah.
You know, I can look in the mirror and, you know, my brain might say, good grief, your legs are big. And then I think, wait a minute, that's not true. Why are you even telling me that? And let's just move on. When mm-hmm. you realize that those practice thoughts just, you know, just don't hold any water anymore and you can just let them go, it's like a whole new world. Whole new world. Amazing.
Yeah.
So think about that. Sometimes when your brain's throwing some, I love the way Corinne says, throwing some shade. When your mm-hmm. brain's throwing some shade at you, just ask yourself, is that really true?
Okay.
And, you know, a lot of times you're going, nope, not really true. And even if it is, it doesn't really matter. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else?
No, that's it for now. I will focus on that for the next bit and see.
Okay.
Where I end up, and then I'll probably be back.
Come on back. I'm here every Tuesday.
All right.
Actually, excellent. I'm not here next Tuesday.
Every Tuesday except for next week.
Actually, next week, September 2nd, Corinne is doing office hours on Monday.
Wow. Night
for the tribe. So that's why I'm not here next Tuesday.
Yeah.
But I'll be here next Tuesday. All right.
All right. Thank you.
All right. See ya.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
Bye. Joy. Oh, let's do Melissa. I don't know. And then Joy, because Melissa was here a minute ago. Then I'll get you, Joy. Hang tight. Hello. Hi again. Happy. I know you. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. How are those kids?
They are amazing.
Oh, good.
Doing really well. Everybody's doing good right now. So that's
good. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. How are you?
I'm okay. figuring out lots of stuff, just doing the whole thinking through things and losing some weight. So that's really good. I was so thankful that I could pull away some time to just jump in and ask them questions. Okay. So I've been doing thought download after thought download after thought download. I've gotten really good at planning and assessing and picking out thoughts in my assessment. Usually I find out that's where they come from, because I'll just write my assessment and then I'll fill in the notes portion of the assessment. And I'm like, oh, there's a thought right there. So what I've realized, and it almost kind of scared me a little bit, is that I've looked back now that I have months of data to look back at. And I've noticed that I almost cycle through like little periods of depression. Okay. And I've always said, no, if you had asked me, do you struggle with depression? I would have been like, no, never. Never had issues with anything like that. But now that I'm looking at just raw data, and there's nothing you can do with the numbers except for, you know, just look at them and they're there, I realize that this is happening. And then I'll and it's just random. But just for a couple of days, I've never dealt with this before, so I don't really even know what to do with it. But consistently on those days, I won't skip my planning, but I'll plan less. Like, I'll just write myself a little note, like, you know, I don't know, protocol day or something like that. And, I'll be not productive at all for those days. I will get almost nothing done, just like the bare bones, bare minimum, like get up, homeschool my children, get them to the places that they're supposed to go. And then inevitably at night, even when I've been in a great rhythm of sleeping, I won't be tired, and I'll like watch Netflix or something, and I'll wind up staying up late. And then so I've identified that, but the worst part of it is that once those couple of days are over, then I wind up looking back and I catch myself looking at the things that I didn't do in those days, and just really, it almost like just this cycle of, my goodness, I didn't get anything done those days. I put everything off, and now here I am. I'm behind and I've got all of this stuff to do, and I'm just trying to figure out like what I need to do to break that cycle. And like, so my first thought is, well, you know, put your big girl panties on and just don't go there, you know, just.
But what if I were to tell you it's okay to go there? What if I were to say no feeling is bad? Depressed is a feeling. Okay. Right. And it sounds to me, the way you describe it, that when you get a little down, you actually do a little bit of self-care. You take care of the kids. You plan realistically. Right? It lasts a day or two, and then you begin to level back up, right? So tell me about those times, not as you go down, but tell me about the times as you go back up, you know, after a couple of days. Why are you, you know, getting back on plan and doing all the things?
Well, looking back now, I find out that it's almost like I just look at what I'm doing. I'm like, oh my goodness, I cannot believe you know, just drug myself around for a couple of days. Come on, let's get this together, do these things. But then I get angry, which I know is a feeling too, but I get really angry because I'm like, oh, I can't believe I did this. And now I'm, you know, behind, and I've not done, and I'm having to like kind of dig myself out of a hole with stuff that I've procrastinated on for those couple of days. And that's just, it's so frustrating.
All right. So what if you just decided not to do the anger part? What if you said, I've been down for a couple of days. Now it's time to get back on track. Let's catch back up. And, you know, everything will be fine for until, you know, the next time I decide to take a nosedive. What if you just, I mean, seriously, what if you just bypass the anger part? Everybody has ebbs and flows in their moods. Everybody. Everybody has easy days and hard days, right? You're depressed is a feeling that's created by a thought. And your thought is probably, I don't know how I'm ever going to finish all this. I don't know how I'm ever going to take care of these kids. I don't know how I'm ever going to, I mean, it's probably depressed and overwhelmed all at one time, right?
Yeah, maybe. That's where I've been trying to work, because I've been trying to work on the front end to figure out what the thought is that creates the depressed feeling so I can skip all that.
Oh, no, you don't want to skip it. You just want to recognize it. You know, I don't want you fighting against feeling bad. I mean, that's what we're supposed to do. We're human beings. Half the time, we're going to feel good, and half the time, we're not. It's just the way it is. We're going to have down days, and we're going to have up days. What you don't want to do is judge the down days as those shouldn't have happened. Look at what you've done. Now I'm mad. Now I'm behind. You just accept that was a down day, and today needs to be an up day so you can catch back up. It's the self-judgment that's the problem, not the depression.
Okay. But shouldn't, I guess I feel like I should be able to figure out how to, like, figure out how to replace the thought that's causing the feeling to not have to have the down days, and then I don't have to get behind, and then I...
You still don't want to feel bad, though. You just want to feel good all the time.
Yeah, probably.
Right? I mean, who doesn't, yeah. Right? Yeah. Who doesn't want to just feel good all the time?
Right, okay.
How can you... What you need to see if you can figure out is how can you feel bad...
And still be productive?
And depressed, and still get your work done. How can you allow that feeling to be there and still take care of what you want to take care of that day? But then if you can't, how can you start the next day without being angry that you didn't get your stuff done the previous day?
That I can live with.
Okay. That I'm telling y'all, this self-judgment is like adding a layer of tar on top of whatever problem you want to work on. So if you're trying to work on why am I depressed and you're angry about being depressed, that's the self-judgment piece. And you have to get through the self-judgment before you can get to the depressed, right? So if you're angry about being depressed, you have to process the anger, then process the depressed. You can't just go straight to the depressed. So when you start beating yourself up and start telling yourself what you should be doing or shouldn't be doing and all that stuff, you've got to coach yourself through that before you can ever coach yourself at the root problem.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah. That's the step I'm skipping. I'm just trying to get, and then it's just more frustration because I'm trying to figure out how to deal with being like, and I even have trouble saying it, like, because I'm like, no, I'm not a depressed person. I do not deal with that. So I have trouble even saying I've got to deal with, I try to skip it and deal with the depression rather than dealing with the anger over the couple of days of not getting as much done as I typically do. Mm-hmm. And like, I've recognized it, like it's this horrible vicious cycle where, you know, I stay up late and then I'm exhausted the next day. Mm-hmm. And it just takes longer to dig my way out of that. So you're saying, like, first deal with, like, pick apart the feeling of the anger and the thought that's driving the feeling of the anger and everything, and then work my way backwards.
Yeah. And then next time this happens, next time you fall into this cycle, recognize it while you're in it. Okay, here it is. I need to go to bed. I need to take care of myself because tomorrow the work is still there and I don't want to have to deal with the anger too. I can be sad, but I don't want to be angry.
Okay.
I want to be okay with being a little bit sad today.
Okay. So
do you think you can be okay with being a little bit sad?
Yeah. Okay. So here's the thought though. Like I've pinpointed a thought.
Okay.
And this is going to sound horrible, but the thought is, and I heard it explode in my brain.
Okay. Well, let's have it.
When I was trying to pick this apart, I thought, I do not have time to feel like this today.
Okay.
And so it was kind of funny because it was a time thing and a feeling at the same time. And so I'm listening to all of the videos from this month about time and how I think about time at the same time. I'm having this thought of, I do not even have time to feel this way. This cannot happen.
And so what you've done is equated sadness with a waste of time.
Yes. Yes.
It's not. Because if you allowed yourself to be sad and worked through it anyway, you would not be wasting time. The time waster comes when you start to get angry about being sad. Then you're using all that mental energy on a lot of useless emotion. Anger doesn't help. Anger doesn't motivate you either.
I've equated being sad with a waste of time.
Yeah. I can't tell you the number of days I get up, probably 4 or 5 days a week. I get up feeling dread, worry, inadequate, all that stuff. And I come in here and I do my work anyway. You know, I there's probably not anybody on this call who doesn't question themselves now and then, or doesn't get sad, or doesn't get worried now and then. But you know, I come in here and I go to work and I say, okay, I'm not feeling great today, but I'm going to do the best I can to get in here and do my work. That's the thought replacement for you. I'm not feeling my best today, but I'm going to do the best I can to get my stuff done for my kids and my husband and my me.
Yeah. I don't think I ever let my family suffer or not do anything, but it's usually, yeah. So there, like usually what I wind up leaving out is any of the self-care stuff that I do for myself. Like I won't go to the gym those couple of days. I won't.
That's probably when you need to go to the gym the most.
Yeah.
Because that's probably your recharge time, isn't it? Because it's all you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's okay. So that's those hours, that couple of hours is the one time every day that I'm guaranteed that I'm alone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So
I'm super proud of you for going back through your assessments and finding this pattern. That's why we do them. That's why we keep that stuff.
Yeah. Well, they've been so useful for so many things, like so many things, not just food, but just finding thought errors has been incredible. And then finding, you know, just even trends, like I can pick out certain foods that I know if I eat that food during a week that I'm going to not lose as much weight, or I'm going to gain a little bit of weight.
Yeah,
It's been incredible. Okay. Thank you so much, Ms. Kathy. I appreciate your time again.
You're very welcome. I enjoy talking to you.
All right. Have a great night.
All right. You too. See ya. All right, Joy, your turn. Nobody else's hand is raised. Let's see what Joy's got. Hello.
Hi there. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Good. It's good to see
you. You look all comfy.
I am. I'm curled up in my daughter's bed. I needed a room with a door where I could hide. I like all your bright colors on your top and on your painting.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So I've done a call with Betsy and a call with Queenie on this issue. So I just thought I'd go for the trifecta.
All right. It's my turn.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I've been working a lot on body image, And I started with Betsy. I made a lot of progress. I then moved on to a call with Corinne. I made more progress. And then a couple of weeks ago, I had a conversation that just blew my mind. And so I think it's like I'm ready to make the next step of progress, but I'm a little bit jumbled on which step that is. So I'm hoping you can help me sort it out. So I was talking to a dear family member, and she was commenting that I'd lost some weight and how well I looked. And I said, thank you. She was being very sweet. And I said, I've lost 35 pounds. I want to lose 70 more. And she said, oh my gosh, if you lose 70 more, you'll be as small as you were at your wedding, which is fine. I mean, whatever. But I laughed out loud when she said it, because I immediately flashed back to on my wedding day, walking down the aisle. First of all, I felt the same in that body as I did 100 pounds overweight. Mm-hmm. And I remember my thoughts as I looked to the left and looked to the right at the people who had come. This makes me really sad, to be honest, that this is what I was thinking. I remember thinking, these people are probably thinking, she's so lucky that she found somebody who will love her even though she's so fat. And to hear this person who loves me and who was there on that day say, you were tiny, like that's, you know, she actually used the word tiny. It's hard for me to even say it because I'm just not a tiny. I've never felt that way. Mm-hmm. But I remember wedding dress shopping and thinking they're never going to have anything that will fit this body. Anyway, I saw her again today. That was about 2 weeks ago. I saw her again today and I said, hey, your conversation really, like, it rocked me a little bit, not in a bad way, but it jolted me. Because when you said that, and I told her what I was thinking, and she said, oh my gosh, I never thought of you as fat, ever. From the time she met me until, I mean, she said, you've gained some weight over the last few years, but I never thought of you as fat. In all those years you're telling me that you thought you were fat, I never looked at you and saw that. So I just don't know how that can feel. I don't know. I guess I'm a little bit perplexed on how I can feel as a bride on the day I'm supposed to feel my best when an objective third party, well, maybe not objective, someone who loves me, was looking at me thinking I look great, that I felt the same as I did when I was 100 pounds overweight. Like, how is that even? And it's, I don't know. Well, I don't know what to do with that.
Well, let's talk about the thought you had at your wedding first. Okay. When you walk down the aisle and you thought everybody else thinks I'm fat, it's because you were thinking you were fat in that moment.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Yes, absolutely.
So that's what we do when we worry about what everyone else is thinking. It's because we're actually thinking it ourselves. And that's a really important point that a lot of people don't get.
Okay.
You know, if you think my boss is going to think I'm lazy, my boss is going to think I can't do the work, that's because you're thinking you can't do the work or you're lazy or whatever. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's how we deal with the internal dialogue. A lot of times is we project it on other people.
Okay.
So that's what you were doing on your wedding day. Okay. Yeah. Why does all that matter now?
I don't think it matters as much as it just was shocking for me to have that realization. Mm-hmm. And I also worry, and this was my call with Betsy, was about this. I worry that when I hit my goal weight, I will feel the same as I did on my wedding day and 100 pounds overweight. So my weight, the number on the scale is obviously not, I worry that when I hit my goal weight, mm-hmm. I will feel the same mm-hmm. as I did 100 pounds overweight as I did on my wedding day.
Okay.
So it's becoming clear to me that the number on the scale is not what's making me feel that way.
No. What's making you feel that way is a thought.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Insert whatever number you want. Your thought, I'm too big or I'm overweight it's just a belief system. It's just your core belief is that I'll always be overweight. I'll always look overweight. That's
yeah, but I mean, it's my core belief, though. How do you change that?
You work on it. Yeah. You go to No BS and you take the changing your thoughts lesson. Seriously, you start a thought ladder. Do you know what a thought ladder is?
Yeah, I've seen them. I haven't done one. But.
Let's do this. This will be fun.
Okay.
Get my whiteboard out.
Okay.
So you tell me what the core belief is. One sentence.
I'm too big.
I'm too big. And you have thought this for a very long time.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's the bottom of the ladder. Okay. I'm too big. What's the intentional thought? What do you want to think?
So that was my call with Corinne when we came up with, and I wrote on my mirror, mm-hmm. I'm hot and I worked hard for it.
All right. Love it.
Yeah.
I'm hot and I worked hard. That's the top of the ladder. Everybody sees my board at the top of the ladder.
Yeah.
So all the rungs in between are laddered up thoughts. Okay.
Okay.
So we got rungs. They're not very straight, but they're rungs. So maybe the first one up from I'm too big that you can start thought downloading on and working on is sometimes I think I'm too big.
Okay.
Now, why is this a cool thought?
Because that feels very attainable to me. Like, I feel like I could believe that.
Right. You know why else? This opening part of it that says sometimes I think lets you know that it's a thought.
Thought.
This I'm too big is feels like a fact.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So we change it to sometimes I think I'm too big. Okay. And you do your model based on this.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. When this is okay, when you're good with this one, you move up to the next one, which might be, let's see. I don't know. What do you think the next level up might be?
I used to think I'm too big.
There you go. I used to think I'm too big. It's so much better when you guys come up with these. I mean, seriously, it is because they come out of your head. Because I can suggest them all day long. That doesn't mean that you're gonna work with them. So that's the next level up. I used to think I'm too big. Then the next one up, you might start working with this thought. I'm open to believing I can be hot because I'm working hard.
Okay.
So I'm open to believing I can be hot.
Yeah, that feels like a reach, but yes.
Maybe that's this one. But do you see what I'm doing here?
Yes.
We're changing the thought just a little bit, each level up, until this one becomes believable. But you have to take the time to model this and thought download about it and practice it until sometimes I think I'm too big. Yep, totally 100%. Got it.
Yeah.
Then I used to think I'm too big. Well, I don't know. That's a little bit of a stretch. I'm still thinking that some. So we'll go to work on this one.
Okay.
Okay.
I love it. Yeah.
For you, because I know you.
Yeah.
I want you to work on the difference between big and tall. Tell everyone how tall you are.
I'm 6'1".
Right.
Yeah. And I have been since I was 12. So this belief,
right.
I remember at 10 being taller than my friend's moms with bigger feet than my friend's moms. And like, that's probably, it's been for since then, since I was 12 years old and 6 foot tall, that I have just felt big.
Right. So
I even said, to my family member today, I said, I mean, my mom never talked to me about my weight. And she said, Joy, you never had a weight problem.
Right.
And I was like, what? I mean, it still just seems so.
What your brain is doing is confusing overweight and tall.
Yeah.
And it's calling it all as a big package of big.
Yeah.
Are you okay with being 6 foot one? How tall is your husband?
6'3". Yeah, I'm great. I mean, yeah. I didn't love it at 12, but I walk around in it fine. I don't
wish for a
different height. No.
You were at Don't Stop Believin', right?
Yeah.
I remember thinking you didn't hunch over. You stood up straight. You owned your height.
Yeah, I do. Right? Yeah.
So maybe that's your next work, along with this thought ladder.
Yeah.
Is to separate, you know, how have I always felt about being tall? Or just even think about, how do I feel about my height versus how do I feel about my weight?
Okay.
Right? Separate. Because I bet this all goes back to this 12-year-old who was 6 foot one.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Because, yeah.
Well, and my girls, I have daughters who are 6 feet tall at 12. Mm-hmm. And I don't want this core belief for them. I just don't. They are not overweight. And they, you know, it's important to me that I figure this out. Mm-hmm. Because I think it will impact like waves of generations of tall people in my family, you know, if I can change this in my head. So I'm feeling very driven to get to the bottom of it. And it just feels like it keeps coming up in my life. So I think you're spot on that big and tall or overweight and tall are all being clumped together as big.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
There's a little new nuance for you, right?
I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially since you're good with your height.
Yeah.
If we had to work on the height too, then that would be something else. But this whole thought, I'm too big.
Yeah.
It's not really true.
No.
Right? Because you're okay with being tall.
Right.
Maybe that bottom thought needs to be, I want to lose some weight or something, you know, I have 70 pounds to lose or whatever it was you said you had to lose.
Yeah.
I don't
Another
know.
70. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you, Kathy.
Does that help?
It totally helps. It very much helps. Yes.
Good.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're very welcome. I'm glad I know you. I'm glad we could pull that out.
I know.
This is what happens when you come to camp, right?
That's right. I know. I'm already all set for next year. I'm excited.
Oh, what'd you sign up for?
I actually am doing the 6 day. I decided this is my grad school and I'm going to figure this out once and for all. So I'm treating it, you know, this whole PNP journey has been like grad school. So I just called it my tuition check. and then I'm doing October camp.
That's awesome.
Because my tall tribe, as you know, we have.
Yeah.
We are all meeting in person the first time this October, but we've already all signed up to come back next October.
So. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm excited about the 6 day too. I get to go.
And
I get to learn all
well,
the
I'll
things.
Well, I'll probably see you in October at camp before that. Will you be in
Yep, we'll definitely.
There. Yeah. And I was excited for you to see you're doing a transformation weekend. That's exciting.
So excited about that. Yeah. You guys can't even imagine how, I get teary thinking about it, how honored I am, how humbled I am that, Corinne has given that to me. So
Not without merit. You're awesome.
Well, thank you. Yeah. But I'm just super, super excited because I love teaching. We're going to teach and we're going to coach and it's just going to be amazing. I'm just super excited about it. So thank you.
All right. Well, we'll see you in October. All right.
Okay. Bye-bye. See ya. Amaka, my friend.
Hello.
What's up?
Well, I heard you say that there was no one in line. I was like, well, let me then come and figure out my life because I don't know what I'm doing.
So tell me one thing you have figured out since the last thing we talked, since the last time we talked. We talked a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I've been planning more realistically, like not trying to get those little wins first instead of just trying to like go balls to the wall. Mm-hmm. So I'm staying on plan either I'm staying on plan more times than not, or I'm still working on like the hunger scale. That's still something I struggle with, but okay. I'm getting better at eating when I'm hungry. So I'm trying to focus on the negative two first. So
you did what you just told me when you started this call was I just can't figure my life out.
Yeah, that's what I said.
You're figuring it out a little bit by a little bit.
Yeah, but
be patient with yourself. Look, Amaka, if I could sprinkle fairy dust on you and you have it all figured out, I would have a line right down the street of people looking for my fairy dust. You have to learn it a little bit at a time. Your brain couldn't handle it if you all of a sudden had all the knowledge.
Yeah.
Like confused and overwhelmed. Seriously.
Yeah, I just feel like I would keep going back and forth mm-hmm. in terms of like whether or not I should stay, I should go. I ended up getting a little FOMO and I signed up for April camp.
Good.
And I'm just like, okay.
So you're here till April. So you
that's what people keep saying, but I watched the videos. Like, I can technically sell my ticket. I can sell my ticket, but no, I'm
okay. Well, let me just tell you this. April is not sold out. So you can't sell your ticket. So you at least have to stay long enough for it to sell out. And then you have to sell your ticket.
And
you can leave because you can sell your ticket. I mean, if you leave, girl, you've taken that ticket with you.
Yeah. I did book the hotel as well. And
see? No excuses.
I like being in control and choosing my roommate. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's a whole nother. But the reason why I don't know what I'm doing, but I realized I posted this thing on Ask Coaches this afternoon and it was answered. But I think I should reveal my face and who wrote it. Because I wrote a post about like some guy and now trying to like be extra focused now that there's a guy that I'm interested in and that I should lose weight now because I need to get attractive. I don't know. I know. But it seems to be a trend where I kind of don't follow through on my goals and then things for me. And then when I have a little bit of a carrot, I'm like, okay, now it's time to get back on track. But that doesn't sustain me. It doesn't sustain my motivation. And then I kind of fall apart and then I go all the way to the other side.
All right. Let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't this guy be a compelling reason? Couldn't any guy have I want to be hot, so I have all the dates. How is that different from I want to look good in a bathing suit? Why are you judging the reason you want to lose weight?
I thought it was not good to have a reason for someone, like trying to look good for someone else.
You're not trying to look, you're trying to look good for you. You're not trying, all right. Now, if you're trying to lose weight so he thinks you look good, that's the problem. If you're trying to lose weight so you think you look good,
no, it was the
that's
other
okay.
Way. Yeah, it was the other way.
Well, you can't control what he thinks.
I know. But
that reason's baloney.
But
if you want to have all the dates, if you want to look good, so you got guys lined up. You know, I got my choice in guys, you know, looking good here. I want to look good. That's different.
Okay.
You see the difference?
Yeah, I know there's a difference. I just don't know why I go into the same pattern of like, okay, I'm gonna lose weight for myself. I want this buy clothes that fit, and then all of a sudden, I've turned into like a teenage girl, and then I forget. Like,
all right, we're just gonna say you're normal, okay?
Oh, that well, yeah, I guess I don't know.
I mean, seriously, I mean, anybody who's like on the market for a dude or a girl or a you know
anything at this point,
right? Is gonna be wanting to look good. And feel good in their body. Why is that? That's not a problem. I want to look good and feel good in my body, and I got a dude.
I don't know, I guess I'm just like panicking because you know the big 3-0 is coming up soon.
Oh, girl,
But I've never been on a date before. Never, ever, ever, ever.
So why haven't you asked this guy that you like?
Because.
For coffee.
I just met the guy. Just
today?
We're
coaching on a guy you met today?
No, it's complicated. But just in general, like if I see a guy, I'm like, oh, that's a guy. That's mm-hmm. usually at this point that's all it takes.
Girl, you're a mess. So why don't you ask this guy to coffee? Hey, let's get some. You want to get some coffee?
Because he's gonna be like, no.
How do you know he's gonna be like no?
Because isn't that
No, if you haven't asked him, what's the worst that can happen? You flash that big toothy grin at him. You say, "Yo, I'm getting some coffee. You want to come?" And he says, "I don't drink coffee." And you go get your coffee, and you say, "Well, next."
See, that freaks me out because I'm just like, you know what? I feel worse. I'll feel worse by the fear of rejection is worse than the fear of not even doing it.
Yeah, why? You end up by yourself either way. Why is it worse?
Because I'm not used to.
It's worse because of a thought you think. It's because what you make it think mean about you. So if you just hide from it and you don't even try, you can't make it mean, you're not making it mean anything about you. Right? You're just blank about it. When in fact, you could be saying, I'm hiding from this. I'm hiding from myself. I'm hiding from my future. Instead of taking a chance and empowering yourself to ask this guy, and being okay with whatever he decides because you're not making it about you. So you think hiding and not asking is the better alternative when you are totally unempowered.
It's like a guaranteed answer. I know that.
How do you know it's guaranteed?
Because if I don't do anything, then I'm choosing.
Oh, yeah. And you're still alone.
Yeah, but if I take that risk and I ask somebody to hang out and then it's up to him to say yes or no, and it's the worst case scenario and he says no, then I'm going to be like, well, that's a failure.
Yeah, well, you're failing now. You're rejecting it now.
So what do I do? Like, say I do. Mm-hmm. Ask somebody mm-hmm. to hang out and then they say no. Mm-hmm. What do I do so I don't like crumble into a million pieces?
Well, crumble into a million pieces is the action line.
Okay.
The feeling is rejected.
Yeah.
The thought is what? I'm unlovable.
Yeah, I was thinking no one loves me. Yeah.
Okay. So let's say dude says no. And you put that in your C line. And maybe your thought is, I am stinking proud of myself for trying. Or, oh my God, that's the first time I've ever asked anybody out. Look at me. Right? I mean, you get to think whatever you want. You're just choosing I'm unlovable because that's the record that plays in your head all the time.
Yeah.
What if you just choose... He must not like girls with hair on top of their heads. I mean,
I'll just cut it all off. Like, no.
But seriously, whatever he says or does only matters if you make it matter.
Yeah.
There's somebody in the chat, Laura. She says, don't reject them before they can reject you. That's what you're doing.
I know, but is this like, why am I so afraid to just like take that risk? Well, I don't, you know, I don't take risks. That's just, the things that I want, I get more anxious than trying. So maybe that's
Yeah. So what's the worst that can happen?
I get no.
Mm-hmm. What's the worst that can happen if he says no?
I might get embarrassed.
And what is embarrassed?
Like, what do you mean, what is embarrassed?
Feeling. The worst that can happen, like, is a feeling.
Get nauseous?
Yeah. Feeling.
Yeah.
It's the worst that can happen. A feeling is a biological response to a thought.
Yeah.
That's the worst thing that can happen. If we in the world can get past being afraid of our feelings, anything is possible. That's your problem, is that you're afraid of feeling embarrassed or rejected. You're just afraid of that. And it's just a feeling, and it comes on and it goes, and then it's over. Then you're on to the next feeling.
Yeah.
That's where your work is.
Okay. Yeah.
Are you afraid of standing up in front of people and telling jokes?
Sometimes.
Do you do it anyway?
Yeah.
So what if you stand up on stage and you tell your best joke and nobody laughs? What happens?
What do you do? I'll just acknowledge it, like, that didn't go well.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
So you walk up to dude and you go, yo, how about some coffee? And he's like, no, no coffee today. That didn't go well. Out you go, right? On to the next dude, on to the next coffee shop. Just like you're on to the next joke when you're standing on stage. I want to tell you something. I would much rather ask one guy to coffee than stand up in front of 100 people and try and tell a joke. But that's me.
Yeah, it's like the like opposite
for me. Right? Right?
Yeah.
See how you can use that bone you've built to stand up in front of people and go, well, that didn't work. What's the next joke? Right?
Yeah.
With regard to taking a little bitty risk, like asking a guy to coffee or telling him he's cute or whatever it is you want to tell this guy that you're all teenagery about.
Yeah, I'll be appropriate. I had a joke. I'm not going to.
Just tell him, just, you know.
I'll keep it PG.
Smile at him, huh?
I keep it PG.
All right.
I don't know. I'm just like, I'm almost 30. I want some action.
What was it Corinne told you at camp? Girl, you can buy you some action.
Oh, goodness. Just, that's all I want at this point.
Just, all right.
Okay.
I really want you to think on that. I want you to think on how you can translate the courage that you have on stage.
Yeah.
To courage in your personal life, to being you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Elizabeth says, what if he says yes? You'd probably die a flutter then, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I was like, oh my God.
Same reaction.
Doesn't matter what I do. Told you I'm a mess.
You're a riot.
Oh.
All right, lady.
Okay, I got some work to do.
We all do.
And you gotta go find Jesus. So maybe you'll date me. I don't know. Just kidding. Thank you.
Bye. Holy cow, she's funny. All right. Confused. How do we work on it during each stage on the ladder in order to get to the next stage? You do models. You take each of those thoughts that you have in your thought ladder and you write your model out. Okay. So in Joy's model, sometimes I think I'm too big. That would be the thought line. Her feeling might be curious. And her action might be to examine further by thought downloading or to see how that thought shows up or to think about the times where she doesn't think she's too big. And her result is that she is opening her brain to new possibilities. Okay, so you just do the model on each thought you have on your thought ladder, and you practice the action line until the thought and the result seem believable to you. Then you just move on up the ladder. So you're going to actually do the work, meaning the thought downloads, the thought practicing, the thought replacement, on each time you go up the ladder. I'll put a link in these show notes. I'll make a note to the changing your thoughts, how to change your thoughts part of No BS, so that you guys can hear Corinne explain it. Hear Corinne explain it in the lesson that she does on thought laddering. It's really, really a very cool tool to use. Deborah says, last week you mentioned the planner that you use. Is it the high performance planner? Yes, it is actually. I have it right over here. I have to order another one. I'm almost out. I use both planners. I use the PMP planner for my food and to set my intention for the day and to talk about my self-care and my powerful question. And I use my Brendon Burchard planner because it focuses on the high performance habits of clarity, productivity, energy, influence, necessity, and courage. And it helps me set my work intention for the day. It helps me. It's been super cool to help me show up at work. He had an offer to get the book for $7 shipping, includes the audiobook. Yeah, his book is amazing. Brendon Burchard is, that's the coach training that I'm going to in November with Corinne. We're going to become certified high performance coaches. So I'm super excited about that. I think there's one more Q&A. Celeste wants me to talk about protocol for a cruise. I'm going on one next week and how to stay in control of, oh, wow, Celeste. Okay, let's talk about the cruise protocol first. We actually just did a podcast a couple of weeks ago. We'll make this super easy. The Losing 100 Pounds podcast talks all about vacation protocols. It actually came out, I believe, on Corinne's birthday, which was July 12th. So just 5 or 6 weeks ago, listen to that podcast and you'll get all the answers about vacation protocol and a plan for you to come back to work or back to back home, a re-entry plan for regular life. Then how to stay in control of dropping my manual for my mom. First thing you need to do is recognize the manual. Okay. And understand that you have expectations for her that she gets to choose whether or not she's going to meet. All right. When you understand that she gets to decide how she shows up, you don't, then all of a sudden your manual becomes useless. Okay. That's what I have for you. I hope that's helpful. Anything else? We're going on the cruise together. I want it to be a good memory. You know what? You create the memories in your mind, girl. You get to decide if you like how you're showing up with your mom. What a beautiful thing, going on a cruise with your mom. You get to decide how much fun you're going to have with her. It doesn't depend on how she behaves, what she says, what she eats, what she does. It's all about what you think about the time that you're having together. It's all in your mind. You create the results that you want with your mind. Okay? All right, y'all. I'm out. Have a good evening, and I will see you soon.